We are Science Fiction Remnant, a podcast for sci-fi lovers spanning across books, movies, TV shows, and games. This is Season 1, Episode 49, Movie, What Happened to Monday for June 5th, 2021. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Science Fiction Remnant. Thank you so much for coming back.
This means a lot to us. We hope that you find this episode as exciting to listen to as it was for us to create for you.
If you like this show and know someone who might like this podcast, please share it. It would help us greatly in growing this channel.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Remnant and share any comments you have about this podcast with your friends and family.
But before we continue with the show, here are our sponsors and collaborators.
This podcast is a proud member of the Let's Chat Club. Find out how you can become a member by going to the website letschatpodcast.net.
Well, everybody, this movie is going to be a good one to talk about today. And we are Sci-Fi Remnant from coast to coast.
Coast to coast. So we're doing this again. I hope you guys are enjoying the live streaming. Today was a request. We are doing What Happened to Monday. It's a Netflix movie. And this was a request. So, Giancarlo, you want to go ahead and fill in the story there?
Well, about the movie, or
welcome about the request?
You're actually our special guest today.
We have a special guest. We're really excited because we always talked about having this guest on the show and it just never happened. And we have so much fun every time we talk. And when she recommended this movie, I said, hey, there's an idea. So we're bringing over Bree from Let's Chat Live. Hello.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's awesome.
Finally made it.
Long overdue.
It really is. We had you guys on Let's Chat Live, and you guys are the coolest. I'm glad you're doing the live videos.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. If you guys have not listened to Let's Chat Live, we're part of the network. So I'm sure it's apparent from when you listen to our show, you see the little promo spot that we played in every episode. If you haven't, go ahead. You're missing out. It's a really cool show.
Oh, yes.
So, what happened to Monday?
You know, I have a list on my Netflix of, like, movies to watch, and that was not on it. I went through all the movies. I was on my list, and I was like, I'm not feeling that. So I looked out, and I found What Happened to Monday. And I was like, why not? Whatever. I mean, the previews do not do it justice at all. The poster, not at all.
Anyways, right?
Yeah. Right. Maybe I watched it on Monday too. No, I watched it, and I was pleasantly surprised. It wasn't even on my list, and I watched it.
Yeah, and I have to admit to you, I actually watched the trailer. It sounded very interesting to me. I had it on my list. But never really watched it. But yeah, I agree with you that the trailer doesn't do it any justice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
It's completely different. I mean, the concept is amazing on this movie.
Yeah.
The movie, and I don't know, I try to find out, obviously it's a little hard when you try to find out stuff from, like, you know, streaming services. This was released on August 18, 2017. And the movie, it cost $20 million to make. And
wow.
I found, and I don't know how accurate this is, because I typically cannot find a box office information, obviously, because it's for streaming. But at the time that I found out, it had made $28 million. I don't know how they calculate that. So based on that, if that is accurate, the movie made money.
it just went to streaming. It wasn't out in movies.
Exactly. So I don't know how that's calculated.
I will bet you to guess that they go more on a statistic manner of creating more subscribers, which is actually a long-term earning for them. Atlas!
Hey, Miguel.
Hi!
So that's for me my perception of how they make the earnings on it, if you think about it. Plus, if you think, they show the recording houses, the directors. So it's kind of a collaboration at the same time where it brings their names to a new public and you know about them.
Yeah. And for all of you who have not seen this movie, it is based on a future where they governments have to look into crowd control because something happened to the food source and they had to scientifically increase it. And by doing so, they introduce, I like to think, maybe hormones into the food that, they were able to increment the food supply. But in doing so, now people were having twins, triplets, multiple kids, so it's kind of like a catch-22 where, we're dying of hunger. Let's fix the hunger issue. You fixed it. And now that's causing another issue.
Mm-hmm.
What was your thought on that, Giancarlo? I'll start with Giancarlo and then we can move on to Brie.
Well, I mean, I like upper Rocky movies, and that topic is actually very finicky to think about because we have seen things like that happen in real life already, or our nations have attempted to do so, and not usually has a positive effect. And of course, you have then big divisions of social classes. And I loved how they portrayed the normality of things in that time. Because when you look at the city, everything is modern and nice and slick inside the building. But outside, everything is trashy and decayed.
Yeah.
It kind of shows you what the result is becoming of the evolution step that society is taking. Sometimes I feel like I'm watching a documentary of the future.
Oh, no.
So what was your thought on that, Brie, when you watched that?
Well, the intro was great because it talked about how in like 5 years it doubled or tripled in population and there's 4 million plus people on the planet, and then they implemented different policies, like one child per family in order to feed them. But I don't know what they put in their food, like hormones. Who knows what they're doing it now in our lifetime. But I guess they did it to such a dramatic effect that they didn't talk about abnormalities, just, people having 2, 3, 7 kids.
Yeah. And it's kind of scary because, if you look at, for example, chickens today, those are monsters. And it's all about the money. They're trying to make they alter the chicken to a point where they can have the most amount of meat that they can make the most amount of money per item.
Yeah, you're eating a 20 days old chicken.
Yeah.
A lot of GMO and gluten.
Yeah.
So in a way, this movie comes a little too close to home because, we already do that nowadays with our food, in a way. Obviously, it's not to cure the issue, that is in the movie, where it's like just lack of food and increment the food supply. But it's a little scary considering what we see nowadays,
Yeah.
Especially the farmers, they the soybean is under so much like lock and key that the soy cannot produce like perennially. They have to get it every year and from a certain provider in order to be called a soybean. So they have a good control over the farmers right now.
I would have on the body to just consume a lot of soy. That in excess also can create negative effects in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, anything in excess is an issue. And, you know, it just makes you wonder of all the stuff that we are doing to our food nowadays, you know, is this an effect that we're going to be seeing eventually, you know, going forward?
That's so scary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I was watching this movie. And also, another thing that I noticed is the reality of the movie where they have to implement the one-child policy. It kind of reminds me of what, you know, China, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're doing it. I think they don't do it anymore. But
they changed it, and people are allowed to have 3 children now, mm-hmm. and the government will help with healthcare and education. I just read that in an article today because their population just dropped.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, everything in this, it looks like it's kind of close to home in every aspect in this movie.
Wristbands to get in anywhere. It's like Disney.
Yeah. The future of Apple Watch.
Apple Watch.
We're watching you.
Yeah. That's scary.
So, basically, when we get to the movie itself, they have the one child policy, so no one is allowed to have siblings. Obviously, you know how we are, humans. We are uncontrollable. So,
and when you tell us not to, that's when we go and do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So they have the Child Allocation Bureau, which it resembles the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was kind of looking at their, you know, their identification cards, and it kind of looks similar to what, you know, that would look like.
Yeah.
And so basically, if they found that you have more than one kid, they send his agents with the police officers to pick up your kid. And they send it to the Child Allocation Bureau. So what is advertised is that your kid is going to go on a cryo sleep. So they're going to freeze your kid and then to be unfrozen later on when the issue is resolved. Before getting in too far, that one I had an issue with, and I was kind of, I want to get your opinion on this. How are things going to get better? I mean, we all saw the movie. We know what happens farther on, but just humor me here. They get frozen and they're supposed to be unfrozen later on when the issue is resolved. Knowing mm-hmm. human nature, you know, how in my mind I was thinking, how did governments, how votes, if that was a thing in this movie, how this law got passed, it was a mystery to me. I don't get it. I mean, things are not going to get better. You know, knowing on the track record, and let's assume, okay, we're saving all these people. People are born every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like you're delaying that. You're just delaying what's eventually going to happen.
Well, they did that chart where the population dropped an enormous amount. So it was working what they were doing.
That's the thing. They're showing the population dropping. They're not showing the progress of fixing the issue. The issue is not right. our population. The issue is that we are finishing up our resources. So we don't have how to really maintain ourselves. We don't have a sustainable system. By eliminating our population, you try to show that, which happens a lot in many different industries and kind of centers. They show, oh, we're controlling these numbers, but that doesn't show really that we're making a solution for it.
Well, if there's less people to feed, you don't have to grow as much food and you don't have to put hormones and grow stuff in it.
Yeah, but they don't show numbers about, oh, our food stock is growing too. We're being able to have more natural resources that are actually able to be regenerated within time, you know, instead of having finite resources. So they create the illusion of success when you really only see decay and everything going to hell, really.
Yeah.
Well, I had this thought process. I mean, that this... I was watching this and thinking and mulling over this thing. Let's say everything is controlled. Let's say, for example, they are successful in controlling the population in a way that is steady.
Okay.
And now the food can reach everyone. No one goes hungry. Now, they're going to open the floodgates. I mean, how are they going to do this? I mean, obviously they can't unfreeze every child that they have frozen, but they're actually increasing. I mean, are they planning to, maybe I'm thinking this the wrong way, but are they planning to release them into the regular population? By doing that, they're increasing the population again. So I don't know.
And the problem, what if this kid is released back when nobody they're related to is there? Then you're creating another problem too. You're bringing a disoriented human being that can have traumas in each that might never be resolved in all their life.
Yeah, like they're freezing the kids, and like years and years, hundreds of years, who knows when they unfreeze them. Like they're not going to know anybody. They're not going to have any family. Like, what are you going to do? Put them in like an orphanage? I don't know.
Yeah.
Too many problems. I guess they just thought about the particular issue at hand, which is overpopulation and feeding the population, not the we're going to deal with this later kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's what it feels like.
The main thing of the reason for the movie is in this world, this grandfather. This guy had a daughter, and this daughter had seven girls, and somehow he managed to get into this hospital, like underground hospital, that the daughter apparently knew very well, and because they were not going to report it to the government. So in the process of giving birth to seven kids, she died. Apparently they didn't talk much. So the father didn't have much information on the daughter, and now he's gained seven girls.
Yeah, he just took on that responsibility.
Do they officially say that she died? Did I miss that? I mean, obviously it sounds
like kind of invited for what I took in the movie. Mm-hmm. Because if now we would have seen some kind of presence from the mother at some given point. And you know, at the same time, if you think they showed it's done kind of in a clandestine way, because even tells the nurse guy, like, we knew you would not turn us out, like, report us. So they kind of tried to imply without seeing it that the mother was a goner.
Well, I guess an underground hospital where she trusted them, they probably don't have a lot of life-saving, you know, things.
And this is supposed to be year 2070, more or less.
2000 is, I kind of missed a year for some reason.
Okay, now Robert's muted. Now, can you hear Robert?
No.
Sorry.
There you are.
It was 2007. I completely missed a year. I got too involved in the story.
The other movie when the ladies win the campaign says 2073. I will bet you say 2060, 70.
Wow. Future. So now he has a problem.
How does he get them home from the hospital?
There's so many unanswered questions here.
Yep.
So
that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah, basically the movie kind of starts there. So the doctor, I think if it was a doctor or not sure if it was a nurse or whatever, but he said, okay, what are you going to call him? And he immediately got an idea where he said, okay, well, there's seven of them. So there's going to be one for each day of the week. So you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And later on in the movie, we find out that his idea was, since they all are, you know, very alike, they are going to go out on, you know, Monday is going to go out on Monday. So each one of them is going to go out on whatever day of the week it belongs to them. And the idea was for them to record every interaction they have. And when they get home, they review that. So the next person knows what their interaction is. And that way they are able to keep the, you know, there's only one kid and they have no siblings. So they don't get, you know, picked up and sent to the Child Allocation Bureau.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a scary thing because they're just taking away from you. It's not like they're trying to have any kind of thing on it, you know?
And they have that mirror they look in every day where it sees if they have puffy eyes or like their hair's messed up or something so that they can look the same as yesterday.
Okay. So that is right there, I notice. That is not a good idea. And later I have to agree with my initial thought because we see, was it Tuesday? It was Tuesday.
No, the one that messed up with the skateboard?
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
Because even at the end, one of them tells the other, like, you'll be a selfish, and another line, that was Friday.
Here's why I say it's Tuesday. When Tuesday was going to go out there, and she was eating that pot, brownie, the pot brownie, and they're saying, you know, you got to go out, and she said it was easy for you to say, it's not your day. You know, you remember the last time I went out, and she showed a finger.
Yeah, at the end.
So she was like, you know,
Tuesday was the one that was being captive in the bureau.
Yes,
Tuesday. Was right after Monday.
Tuesday, yeah.
The one that was with the finger, actually, is Friday because that one is the one that makes it all the way through.
No, you know, here's the thing.
It's Thursday. Hurt her hand skateboarding.
Skateboarding? Okay.
It's Thursday.
So we're both wrong.
Yeah.
We had seven guesses. You know,
that is the thing. I mean, and this is the amazing thing about this actress is in this movie, and I don't think I'm thinking if I've seen a movie where an actor or actress have done so many roles at once. And this is the very first time that I see someone do seven roles. And at some time, at one point, she did all seven in one scene. So it's kind of crazy because, I mean, there's seven people and they all have seven distinct personalities. So, and then you're looking at this person, I can see how this would be. She makes it very believable. She's amazing as an actress.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she was in the movie Close as well. And I watched that like a week before this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why I watched this one, because she was just phenomenal.
So Giancarlos, you want to tell Bree a little about what you thought was going to happen with me watching this movie?
Well, I thought that you were going to have some cake, that you were going to be uncomfortable about even doing the episode about it.
You were right. And
the movie had a couple of gruesome moments. So, I mean, I wonder what was your feeling, like the chopping of the finger.
Well, gruesome doesn't really bother me much. I mean, granted, I can tell you honestly, I did not watch. But I think just the movie overall, it was hard to watch because of my taste in movies.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You start seeing characters moving like flies throughout the movie. And I'm watching this, and I'm okay with it. I mean, I like Game of Thrones. I like The Walking Dead. When this happened. But I know people don't like that. I'm guessing stuff from the character in the movie, so I'm seeing like characters dying. I'm like,
oh no.
I think, it was hard for me to watch. I had to admit. However, this was a really good movie. Now, I think the one that had me that hit me the hardest was Saturday. You remember Saturday?
Which one was she? The blonde.
The blonde.
Yeah. Oh. Also, that one jumping across the building. That one. Oh, that one got me.
Okay.
I was not ready for that.
Here's this. You know, we're jumping all around, but then again, if you listen to our podcast, you know how we love doing this. You jump around.
And I mean, this movie jumps all around.
Too. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a conception.
Monday disappeared. So now, the other sisters are trying to find out what happened to Monday, and hence the name of the movie.
But Monday disappears, but they're not sure what happened to her because the child protection people aren't coming after them. So they go out like everything's normal on Tuesday.
Yes.
Which to me, when that started happening and they decided that who is going to go out next day, I was like, what a bad idea.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. And they just do it. And I'm like, oh my God, what the heck is wrong with them?
Yeah. You gotta think through the plan, man. I mean, obviously it wasn't it was a private organization that must have taken her.
Yeah.
And I mean, then they mislead you because she gets captured. It comes to light that somebody knows her four siblings. And when the scene is gonna end, when they have her captive, but they were denied, they say that's what the last one said when she tries to go from the deal. So they purposely mislead you or lead you to think like this happened to Monday. They did something with a knife and they don't show you because it's two cuts right before you went.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, and the sisters, they can see what's happening the whole time. Is that right? Because at the end of the day, they also have like a sit down about every detail.
That's the whole idea. And that's why the grandfather set up where they actually can watch. And there's another thing, too, because not everything gets recorded. Mm-hmm. So they're supposed to press. And I wonder, I mean, how do you know that a particular moment? I mean, I guess you have an idea of what would be an important thing to record so the other sisters would know what happened. But mm-hmm. How many times have you gone through your day and something happened, you didn't have time to like pull up your phone and take a photo or take a video or, you know, that is another thing that I wondered on how everything got transferred. I mean, granted they knew what happened, but I mean, we're humans. We might forget a particular scenario. And what if the other person walks out and is confronted with that scenario that the previous sister forgot to mention because they forgot to mention.
And they show that when they go into their house because they have the bell guy who always says a quote from someone. And then the next day the lady's like, who says that? And he's like, oh, it's so-and-so. I told you yesterday. Don't you remember? So they're already failing.
He even mentions, like, what's your secret? You were throwing up yesterday on a planter.
But here's the thing. I think it was working perfectly. That's what happened to Monday. But Monday disappeared.
Yeah.
And they didn't have that input from her. They didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just like, So, and on overall, too, they are how many years and nothing really happened? And I mean, even when she, I think Tuesday met with Cayman, you could see how she's like, you know, poor kids. I mean, you've gone so many years through this. And how is it that they never got caught?
Well, think about it. They're not being checked by DNA. Somehow, there's a mastermind, the critical part of it. Because if you think about it, they already are picking with Brazil.
Max, I don't know if you see that. Max says that his son has an idea for the next movie.
All right.
Yeah, what happened to yesterday?
Or this morning as we get older.
A song for the Beatles. We don't know what happened yesterday. It's just that song.
So, yeah, the movie, you know, and this is another thing that I was actually talking to you and Carlos about. I don't know why, and I'm thinking, because I'm usually not like this. Giancarlos is usually the one, but
I am the one.
I knew what was going to happen, and I can tell you at what moment I realized what the ending was going to be like.
Was it the button?
Huh?
Was it the button part?
No, it was the part where, was it Wednesday? Went to the room for that guy, I forgot his name. And she was demanding for him to tell him what happened. And he's saying, okay, are you playing dumb with me? You know, we have an agreement? Are you going to, let me have the promotion? At that moment, I knew what happened. I exactly knew what was going to be the ending.
How?
I just got
this feeling. That doesn't give away anything.
I just got this feeling, and I don't know if we should talk about this later on, but I just had this feeling right at that moment, and I knew what's going on based on you know, when they were at the table, when all seven were at the table and they were eating, and you see their facial expression, which again, I have to say, the actress was amazing, because if it wasn't because of those nonverbal cues that I saw from each one of their faces, I could have never figured out at that moment what the ending was going to be like. And, well, you know, Max says, is writer's intuition? Maybe that, I don't know. I mean, all I know is that I'm usually not the one that can tell the ending. Usually Giancarlo is the one, no, it's going to happen this way. It's going to happen this way. It's like, no, I don't know. And it happens that way. But this one, it's like, so I was kind of confused, and I called him, and it's like, am I missing something? And Giancarlo is telling me, no, man, you know, how could you tell that? I wasn't able to tell what the ending was going to be like. This is a total, you know, mind fog. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, kudos for me, I guess.
No, the whole time I had no idea. And thinking back after the movie, I'm like, I should have known when they found that button. Like, it should have been a dead giveaway.
I felt, and here's what I felt. I feel the emotions on each of the characters. And this is why I said she was a great actress. From each of the actresses, when they were sitting down, I think that was the pivotal point for me, is that initial dinner time. They were all sitting down and they were all talking. And the one thing that I noticed from Monday was resentment. Especially when they go back and show what I think it was Thursday that
Thursday.
Went, yeah, she went out and she broke her finger, so they had to cut a finger. And who's the first one to go? It was Monday.
Because she's the firstborn, right?
She's the firstborn. So Monday, you got to be brave for the rest of them. And I can feel resentment. I saw that later that night. The grandfather was crying. Monday went to see what was going on and so found the grandfather crying. And I feel, I don't know what it is inside me. I kind of almost felt what she was feeling, that, you know, in my mind came rushing down. Like if I was the only one, granddad wouldn't have to go through this. You know, if I was the only one, I didn't have to get my finger cut off and go through so much pain. Would have been so much better if I was the only one. And I don't know. I mean, it's just.
That makes sense.
For all from the expressions. I mean, and.
Wow.
I don't know. That's maybe amazing. I'm a better empath than I thought I would be.
Well, you are. That's the point.
But does it make any sense? I mean, when you guys watch that scene. Now that I'm mentioning, does it make any sense?
Because I was completely
clueless. I was like, why is it that I can, you know, I didn't understand what you guys were talking about, both of you, and especially Giancarlo. And I'm like, what's going on? So does it make any sense?
It's that resentment that you spotted on Monday.
Huh?
But to be honest with you, I totally missed that resentment you're mentioning. It went over my head. I don't know if it's because resentment is more of a subtle emotion than all the other personality traits that are being shown in all the other days. Like, you have the one that is crazy about fitness. You want the one that is a junkie, like being drinking or getting high or whatever. Then you have the brainy one. Then you have the believer. So, like, each of them, and then one day is like the brainy one too. Like, she's very applied, but they don't really show personality traits that are like, what do I say, very characteristic, like something that you would say, like, oh, you can spot that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone had their own thing, their own personality and dress at home, and she kind of just lived in Karen Settman and her character. Mm-hmm. But now that you mention it, they only focus on Monday during those flashbacks when she goes, gets her finger cut and sees her dad.
I
grandpa.
Agree. Did you notice what I'm talking about? Now in retrospect, obviously, I mean, I'm not going crazy here. I mean,
no, yeah, you're right. That makes sense now. That's crazy.
I mean, honestly, that resentment went completely over my head.
Yep, me
too. It's like a very neat, tight group.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, everyone had their role.
I don't know. I always saw it like, you know, she's the one that has to put everything together. By the way, Max is saying it sounds like the Seven Dwarfs analogy.
It might be.
And she has to be the respectable one. She has to be the one that puts everything together. She has to be the one that, you know, that... I think it was too much on her plate. It was like she was carrying everything on her shoulders.
At the same time, I think it's ridiculous because she's just a seventh of a person.
Yeah, she did that to herself.
Even that job wasn't landed because of her. That job was landed because of Friday. What was the brainy one? Friday then. Friday was a brainy.
Friday?
It was because of Friday.
Yes.
That job was landed. So, I mean... It's just bullshit. It's just being too full of herself. That's the truth. The nasty truth is that Andy is too full of herself. And of course, later on we learn there's another entrance that is more instinctive that make her make that shitty choice she ended up making. But if you think about it, she's entitling herself, like, all the responsibility and the success from her. She's just one day. She's not making doubles or anything. There's other six sisters that take a part in that person.
Yeah. So when she feels responsible for all of them.
When we would discover actually the resentment later on in the movie, I was like, what the heck is wrong with this bitch?
Yeah. It's like the grandfather said, you know, it's a joint effort.
Yeah.
You know, everyone had a part to play. I mean, everyone. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, mm-hmm. which are the ones that would be considered most slacker in the, you know, / business world. They had a part to play.
Yeah.
You know, they I would say, for example, Friday and Saturday would be very important on getting the connections at work because of the, you know, the extracurricular activities like going to the club or going to, you know, and then Monday would go back and say, hey, you know, we had a nice time on Saturday. You know, how about that business deal? And you know, yeah. that has a very important part. And of course, Friday, you know, is the brains of the entire thing, the entire operation. You know, I had to bring this question. I don't know the answer to this, but I'm wondering if you guys have ever thought about this. I was kind of watching this with my wife for the second time, and she actually had a question, and I was just wondering, you know, all the stuff they had, you know, the wigs and all the stuff they use on a normal day, the clothes and all this stuff, you know, where did they get it? I mean, I don't know if I make any sense, but like, I would understand when they were younger from the grandfather, he will take care of all that. You know, the technology, was it all Friday? And wouldn't people notice mm-hmm. when something, maybe I'm overthinking this, but like, you know, all the technology they had there, the eye reader, the computers, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess Monday kind of has the longest hair of them all and the darkest, right? That's what the wig is made up after. So how can she go to the store and buy a wig that looks just like her hair? There's no Amazon, probably.
Giancarlo's, your audio is not coming through. There we go. I can hear you now. By the way, Max is saying, so all the moving and shaking happens on Friday.
You will say, man, I mean, I don't think that you go for a party or a happy hour on Monday.
Right. You wish.
And I would think that when it comes to their image, with something more adapted to the career that they ended up choosing for all of them. I mean, I've lived through that. When I worked in the corporate world, I will have a different image. I'm trying to look more professional and presentable. Unfortunately, depending on what time of day we are judged for our looks. Then we are judged by what's really inside of us. So we always have to look presentable and heighten our possibilities and chances, no matter the direction we are in.
Yeah. Max is saying all the technology shopping happens on Friday, obviously.
Yeah. All the good stuff.
You know, he has a point. It makes a lot of sense. You know, yeah. Knowing Friday, you know? So why this movie was hard for me?
Feeling the pain.
I think.
Lying.
I think one of the reasons why that I find that the hardest was Saturday.
Aww.
Saturday was a very lovable character. She is not a fighter. And later we learned that she's not even what she appears to be. She appears to be floozy, and she wasn't even that. Because when they when they told her, get rid of this guy, you know what to do. It's like, no. It's like, you slept around. It's like, no.
No. Yeah.
So.
What's the name of the play? Bluff.
So I took it. I mean, granted, the other ones are not diminishing from the other deaths, but I think that was the hardest one that I took. Bree, which one do you think was your hardest?
Definitely Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Like, I was rooting for her so much. And then she hit every opportunity, and she got it. And then it was just taken away from her. And
me too.
I was with her the whole time.
On the rooftop?
Yeah, the rooftop one, which is running.
I found that to be so freaking unfair. Especially, you know, what they said. Okay, you have a choice. You can either jump or take a bullet. And she did both.
Yeah, she did. And the whole the sisters, they were arguing or something was happening back at the apartment, so they couldn't tell her which way to go. And so she lost time there.
Yeah.
So
she got shot as she was in the air jumping. And I was like, no, really?
Yep.
And she still made it.
I think can really relate to why we root more for her. That was the one that hurt the most. She was the one that fought the hardest.
Yeah, she was training.
Yeah, she wanted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why they said, you know, we believe in you. You could make it.
Yeah. You know, Friday was also hard. The tech one.
Yeah.
Because she just didn't know how she was going to manage out in the world, because she didn't know anything out there. She just knows the computer, how to run her sisters and keep track of them.
In a way,
so that was sad.
In a way, I can take it a little easier on Friday, because she made a decision.
Yeah.
She sacrificed herself for her sisters. The other ones, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make it any easier. Maybe I'm just justifying this thing over here, but I think she's the only one that had the choice.
I agree. She's a hero. If she wouldn't have backed up all the data, it wouldn't have anything to do with the sample. But they were going to run away and leave everything behind, even the information that was going to save them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a true hero. And like you said, she made her decision. The only thing that pissed me off about her death is that those fuckers didn't die up there.
Yeah. I was expecting it.
But at the same time, she's like, oh, I can't function out there without my sisters. I mean, she still has sisters out there. Not all six of them, plus her.
Yeah. I agree with you, Bree, 100%. You know, they're not all there, but she's not going to be alone. She's, you know, she said she can't function out in the street. You know, like, you have sisters. You can work together. You know, you can figure something out eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you're successful in uncovering the, you know, the conspiracy that is going on, what was going, you know, in the world. But I guess she just decided to be the hero.
Do you think that her choice was wrong? Because what they were doing were walking away from the only chance they had really to fight this giant group of organization.
No, she was a hero.
But like you're saying, like she could have chosen differently. I don't think that there was a different choice. I think that her sacrifice was necessary for the good outcome of the organization. If they don't do that, they're just a bunch of siblings that are going to be put into crisis.
But then in the other side of the coin.
No, she only did the backup on the bracelet so the sisters can have a memory of their childhood, not for recording what happens in the cryo chamber.
You know, to look at in the other side of the coin on this particular scenario, if she chose to live, they could actually come up with another opportunity. It might be harder because they had the element of surprise, but Friday was very intelligent.
So, I don't know. They were dying so much, I don't think they would have made it until that opportunity came.
Hmm.
I mean, think about it. When you calculate inflation, they're not being captured. They're literally being hunted down to be killed on the spot. And she knows this because she saw already Wednesday being killed on the spot. So they know it's not like we're going to have a chance to fight back or capture. If we're captured, we're going to be killed right there.
Yeah, yeah. I guess she is the reason why they were able to bring down Cayman.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason. That's the only. I'm sorry?
I think that what she did was necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you agree that Sunday was a senseless death?
She was the one that was in the room and came out, right?
She was the one, you know, when they initially came in looking for all five after they caught Tuesday and they cut her eye out. They sent a team to get the other five, and they were inside that room, and they all got out one at a time.
She in got the like struggle, a
huh?
She got like a lost bullet.
Yeah, it was, you know, she oh, was right. One of them that's was fighting right. with one of the guys, and bullets were all over the place. And I was, you know, I didn't know at that moment. I didn't know what was going to happen there, but I was thinking, why, you know, bullets are all over the place. And I kept on thinking, oh, you know, that guy that had the knife, oh, he got a bullet in the back. No, he didn't. And bullets are going all over the place. So I'm thinking, like, is she not know this? You know, someone is going to get a bullet. And yeah. No one did except for Sunday. You know, it, all over the place, all over the room, none of the guys, none of the girls, you know, although it was
everywhere. Huh? You want me to put it fully? What that does mean? Mm. She's the entry age to let you know there's going to be a lot more of that.
To introduce us and for all the sadness like, that's about to come.
I'm getting used to it. People are going to start dropping their flies.
Yeah, that was more of the accident, and then
it was senseless. It was like you don't see her hurt until everything is done.
It wasn't even intentionally. It was an accident. And they are there to kill them. And it was an accident. I mean, that speaks volumes.
Yeah. Because they mentioned they were going to kill them all, right? Not just take them down.
Because, you know, later we find out that they don't get frozen. They get burnt. This is an incinerator. And every single person since this child allocation act started, we're not actually frozen, they're actually killed.
Yeah. But before they're killed and in that incinerator, they're having this good time playing games and cards and have this cute little like bunk bed situation going on. But then and they're given an injection to put them to sleep.
Yeah. So they don't feel anything. That is the doctor's justification for what she's doing.
Yeah, they didn't feel anything.
And it makes sense also when they were in that room, which, by the way, I don't know if you guys noticed, the room that the kids were at was room 421. 4 + 2?
Aww.
+1?
That's 7. Look at that. Of course you'd pick up on that.
It was clever. Cool. But, you know, when they were in front of that room, and they were talking how she's saying she had a nightmare where all the, you know, the building, you know, exploded and all the kids came out burnt. At that moment, I didn't know why she was saying this. Because at that moment, remember, I thought they were all being frozen. And it's a little foretelling for later in the story. And she knew what was going on, obviously. And the reason why I mention it is because she has remorse, you know, and she's trying to justify all the horrible things she's doing, you know. And one of the things is like, oh, yeah, they don't feel anything. They're being put to sleep first and then burnt. And you know, that and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because especially when Wednesday died, I noticed how they said, you know, they are wrapping it up inside this bag and they say, okay, take it to a child allocation. And I'm like, why are they taking it to child allocation? I mean, she's dead.
I was at a loss when they did that. I was like, why are they going to take the kids and put in cryo? They're in their bodies.
I mean, are they going to be frozen later when they can pull the bullet out? And
that's what I was thinking. I mean, I'm seeing these so advanced medical centers. I'm like, do they have a way to bring it back or something?
Or study them or something. Yeah, I didn't pick up on that.
And I was like, you know, and you know, obviously now we know why, you know, they, you know, they just burned a body and they don't have to deal with, you know, burying or, but as, when I found out that was, it's just like a big shock. You know, I think my heart just sank.
Oh yeah. I took like an audible gasp.
Because you imagine how many years this machine has been working, how many kids or adults or, well, it seems like it was only mainly kids. They're able to grab, you know, early on. But that makes it just that much more horrible.
You said the last one they burned before you see what really happens on the cryogenics was like 20,000 and something.
Yeah.
And it's so quickly, like it just flips over, ready for the next one, flips over. So they had a quick system for that, bringing someone in, burning them.
Yeah,
there's a deeper psychological nonsense to that, you know, we humans do. We do atrocities. And you can see that throughout the whole story, history of humankind. And we do something to lessen the pain, thinking that really tones down the barbarity. So, like, we're trying to protect ourselves from something horrible we're doing.
Trying to justify it by saving the world. And they are, you know, saving the world and doing a good job. But at the same time, morally...
Is it catch-22 if you think about it?
Yeah, they're just postponing what's going to happen.
It makes me wonder too, because at points, I don't know if it's because eventually Cayman becomes slightly unsensible to what's going on, because at moments it's obvious that she's having some regrets of what's going on, but. Mm-hmm. She needs to be on top to continue saving the planet in her mind. So maybe that combination of that and justifying what she's doing to be better for the planet, it's kind of like it comes in waves where she's at one point.
Go ahead. A good analogy. So you can understand probably what you're trying to put into words. It's like in the Dominican Republic, you go to buy a chicken. You buy the light chicken, you tell them, I want that one, and you see how they flip it. It is completely ready to put in the pan to cook from being alive. It's like wanting to eat the chicken, but not willing to see the process of how that chicken was prepared for you from being alive.
Yeah,
that's what she was doing. She was not thinking of the burning and everything else.
And right. So just she paper, alive, spreadsheets.
Alive, even though she knows what's going on, and let it go on.
But, you know, for her to have nightmares of kids coming after her burned, that is a subconscious way of telling her, you know, she's definitely suffering. You know,
good. What she's doing.
Yep.
Yeah. And even after, like, I mean, she's an older character in this. Like, she's not going to live more than, like 20 years. Like, who's going to take her place after that? Who did she plan on?
Yeah, because I mean, I was thinking maybe the guy that was with her, but the guy is not a doctor. So, I don't know.
I think it's the ambition of mankind, it's a new way to really defeat mortality, to become an ideal. And we always try to give different levels of circles. So, whoever was going to carry on with this, which she will probably have to find something about this new venture she was doing, was going to be closer in her circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. We behave like that, actually. We behave like hierarchies, circle hierarchy. So whoever will carry on this mission with her will be at the top of the hierarchy.
Yeah.
Was she thinking Monday? Because Monday gave her all that money.
Monday was just a deal for me that she had with her. Because then we find out that Monday actually is pregnant. So she's choosing her two offsprings over her 6 year children. And she's already trading them off for funding illegally Amen's campaign. It's kind of messed up.
It makes you wonder what made her. I mean, it seems, and maybe I should ask this of you guys because it wasn't apparent, but it seems to me like Monday initiated the deal with Kamen. What do you guys think?
I think so. I think that her babies were the main motivation for her to go so south before dark on her decision.
So quickly.
I mean, it's maternal. I mean, you can understand from an unbiased point, it's her maternal instinct. It doesn't matter your feelings. I know what's happening within me, but it has to be something completely out of this world. You're going to do anything to preserve him. That goes beyond self-preservation.
Yeah, because, so, I mean, it was, she had twins.
I missed that whole part. I had to read a recap of what happened because I didn't hear her say that, take care of them. Like, I didn't realize she was pregnant.
When she was dying.
Yeah.
In her last moments, she tells to her sister, like, don't let them take him.
And it makes
but, like, wonder. I wasn't sure she meant, like, the two surviving sisters.
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't very, very clear. You know, and I think that was part of the mystery of the movie, where they just give you those little things and let you try to figure it out.
I had to read the synopsis.
At the end, because then they're looking at the two fetus, and then they say, well, Monday wanted them to be safe. We got that taken care of. Mm-hmm. So they kind of they clarify completely by the end. You have Tuesday and Thursday with the guy.
Thursday, yeah.
It makes me wonder too. The justification, I guess I cannot understand. You know, she has twins. So by law, she's supposed to give away one. And now we know, well, when I like to think that she knew at that point
that,
that would happen to them. she chose to keep both of them and made a deal with Kamen. So basically, she is putting her kids over her sisters, over her entire family. I kind of understand, but that's a hard thing to do. You know, like, put your entire family under the bus just for your kid. I mean,
but at the same time, like, her mom had the seven kids without everyone knowing. Her sisters could have raised those babies. Like, yeah. It could have...
They already had the expertise on seven. There are only two. It would be easier for them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think it was mainly her resentment. I think it was mainly that.
Again, you and I don't know the experience of what to have a living being inside of us. Three does, you know? So I can just help but imagine, and I will be sure of it.
Just scared, not thinking clearly.
Thursday on the bathroom before they fight, and she's showing her resentment. You can see how she doesn't mean it. Because if she would have resentment, she would be cold and pissed. But you can see how she's almost crying as she's showing the resentment.
Well, I think partly was what it was said. I think in the bathroom scene, it was the very first time that she had an open conversation about the topic with one of her sisters. And I think for the first time, she's starting to realize that what she did might not be the best idea.
Exactly.
After she hears that, you know, it's a big difference when you hear it. I mean, you might be thinking about it, when it's put into words and you hear it, it's a different story.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what happened. I think she was very composed of what she was doing. Her resentment was driving her. The fact that she needed to keep her kids alive, although she only allowed to have one, so she made a deal to keep both against, you know. But once she heard her sister talk, I think that's when it became real. And she started having doubts. And I think that's what you notice on that scene, you know, when she pulled a gun.
I mean, I've seen her acting before.
She should have shot. That would have been the easy thing.
Yeah, no, to me, like, I've seen that being displayed before on TV. And to me, it's not acting when somebody's showing resentment, but you can see they don't really mean it. They are not old and direct to it. It's not like, I mean it. You know, I hate you. You suck. Goodbye. You know? If not, you wouldn't get like that, like grinding here in the nose, and like her mouth starts hurting down, like her emotions start taking over. If you resent somebody, which is a strong emotion, you're going to show cold and hatred. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna show some kind of hesitation. She was very, very hesitant. To me, she was just put in a very difficult place where no person with normal mind would be able to really take a decision.
And technically, there's no win-win situation on that.
No, there's not. I think that self-preservation came on that, and because that's like an instinct to us as humans. Imagine when it comes to maternal instinct. I think that just multiplies it. Because I don't think by normality, most mothers would do, I mean, most parents at all would do anything for an offspring. Imagine a mother that has a deeper biological connection to that being.
I don't think a normal, sane person could take the same outcome, the same decisions that Monday.
Well, she's not really normal, or the whole situation's not sane. Their whole situation sucks. Like, they had all this trauma. They don't know their own mother. They had to think about that and this whole society, and knowing kids have to be, taken away. So nothing about their life is normal. So for her to do something like this is, it could happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess where I'm stuck is the fact that she is, her entire family, she's going against her entire family. And we're not talking about, because I mean, when I say entire family, in a normal aspect, you might be talking about uncles, you might be talking about grandparents, they might not live with you, they might live like a couple of states over, you don't see them every day. But we're talking about immediate family. These are people that you live day in, day out. Every day you look at their faces. And I had a hard time trying to get into her thought process on how she could do that to them. Although, I mean, yeah, she has a very valid point. It's her kids, her twins. There's no other way she can keep them both, and she wants to keep them both, obviously. But that's why I said a normal, sane person, I have a hard time. I'm thinking, and I'm, what do you think, Giancarlo? I mean, I don't know.
It is normal.
Maybe I have a very rosy picture of what,
No normal person will be able to make a decision. Most likely that person will throw themselves over a bridge.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, depression, anxiety, and you would have someone, it'd be easier to just pick up a gun and shoot yourself, under a situation like that.
Then everything's so controlled, too.
But it's like if I ask you right now, like, will you give away any of your daughters for all of your siblings? Like, you wouldn't be able to answer that. It's like, I can't even process that,
And I was thinking, because I tried to understand the character, and I cannot. And I mean, I understand the situation they're in, definitely. But the decisions taken, the only thing that I can think as to why they were taken, why those decisions were chosen by Monday, is maybe, it's obviously she didn't talk it over. That would have been a big thing if she would have initially talked it over with the sisters. Maybe the movie would be a completely different story. But it doesn't seem to me like they were really well thought out.
No, not at all. I think that to me is what happens when you don't think things through and you start making decisions. To me, her resentment was just something excusable for her to do what she was doing. She was looking for, but she didn't really feel like it.
I feel like she made a bad choice and she just had to keep on going with it no matter what. She was hesitant to sign the papers at first until she was pushed, and she's like, I'm just going to sign it. So she had to be pushed throughout it. I think that she's probably slightly crazy, and all the stress, PTSD, whatever, just got to her, and it was easier for her to make those terrible decisions and not talk to her sisters.
I mean, I can go as far as saying that she made the decision and it was solid on it, or to the point of where she brought in Cayman in. And then once Cayman was involved, maybe she had, you know, maybe she thought, oh, crap, I did a mistake. But at that point, she can't go back.
And Cayman even told her, I can't want your sisters as collateral.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, how is that going to work? You know that she can't allow you to be more than one. So, I mean, when she said that, I was like, why?
Monday's not coming out.
You're going to kill everybody.
Huh? I guess it's make sure the money transfers over.
When she tells her, when she tells Monday, I kept one of your sisters as collateral, you know that that implies first that Monday is not making all that room alive if she backs out. And then that the other sister, she can torture or do whatever to find out where are the others. So all of them are going to be eliminated anyways.
Yeah.
So he's like, Cayman is telling her in a very nice way, I got nothing to lose, we got all to lose.
Yes. Which is crazy, too. You know, I don't know. I think
it's
I have a very
tragic story.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I'm glad, you know, if you all know my taste in movies, is that at least we have two of the sisters alive at the end. You know. Come on, Giancarlos. I know you want to say it.
Oh, if they would have different faces, you wouldn't have liked the movie. I think that you cannot find comfort in that they look the same.
You know, I was thinking the same way, too. I was thinking, okay, because typically I would hate movies like this. Maybe that has something to do with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Two of them survive.
But, you know, it doesn't take the fact that I still feel it for Friday. I mean, Saturday.
Yeah.
I still feel it for you know, I know it's not the same thing, but to me, it was kind of like the equivalent to Kaylee from Firefly. I found her very lovable, the character.
Yeah.
And to see her, like, almost senseless, because she was talking to her sister. She looked around. They were all pointing gun at her. I didn't know where that came from. And then she turned around, and before she can say, I love you, she got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's sweet.
I feel bad for her, but I'm honestly, to me, it's just like Bree. It was Wednesday. Like, to me, that was her life there in the movie was the true meaning of injustice. Like, I felt like injustice was made to me and to her at the same time. I was like, no, why?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, I was kind of disappointed in Wednesday because she's always boxing and working out. She's got like a 12 pack, you know, but she couldn't hold her own in a fight. Like, she was always being knocked down quickly. And it was a little disappointing.
If you think about it, look at the numbers that we're throwing at her. I mean, she took down before she was taking down more than 20 guys. She's a self-trained person, you know? Like, yeah. I don't think I would have taken down two of them.
Yeah,
she did a badass job. That's what I'm saying. Like, she was the one that fought the hardest.
Yeah.
And she went to such length, and then it just was all for nothing. And the sisters are actually looking through her sight, everything happening.
Yeah, and at the end when she fell, it was just
like, I would have been better if she would have told the guy at least, like, go ahead, you're being watched, or something like. Like, in spirit, she was defeated when she was caught. She didn't keep on fighting the spirit. And that also kind of made me feel like,
oh. I was like, no, they didn't when I was watching it.
Yeah, it took me by surprise, you know. I was honestly, I thought the guy was going to come behind her. Because I saw them go on the stairs in a hurry. And I was expecting, but when she jumped and she got shot, I was like, hold on a second, where did he come from? Yeah. He was in the other building that she's jumping to. And I was like, oh, come on.
And I mean, that guy did a good job. He was like the King Joffrey of the movie. Like, I freaking hated that asshole from the beginning.
Yeah, he doesn't do a good job when you hate the actor.
Also, when they
you
make it to the scene, he actually, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead. You were frozen for a minute.
When they make it to the center and she kicks the nurse girl, mm-hmm. and she goes straight into the fire pit and burns, I wasn't like, yes, man. Justice.
Yes. You know, I really felt it with that. I don't know if you want to call it nurse. The one that just burned that little kid, where she got put into that place, into the incinerator.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, just.
I mean, she was making cold jokes right after burning the little kid. Like, oh, did I smell fire here? Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah.
She's so desensitized. She must have done so many. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it? I can say it was hard for me to watch, but. The movie was really good.
It kept it going till the end. You're like, what's going to happen? They all had the fighting spirit, and you're just rooting for them.
Yeah.
It was.
I mean, it didn't really end. Like, there was no real conclusion. Like, people can start having babies again, but at the same time, they're just going to
eat their own food. I was just wondering what's going to be the new norm. How are they going to restructure this organization that was ruling over society, which was doing an atrocity in selling a dream. So it leaves a whole bucket of possibility open to what's going to be the new day-to-day for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bracelets and food rations and so on.
Is going to go back to how it was before. So and that's what I said, this movie's a catch-22. There's really no right solution. You pick one, or you pick the other, you still have going to have a problem.
And I can imagine how many riots ensued afterwards, knowing that all their kids were killed. I can't imagine anything standing after that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how war starts. And yeah, it's... Not only that, you know, that's adding to everything else, you know, the issue, the rations. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a horrible world in there. And I kind of wonder what happened. It's if you think about it, it was kind of scary at the end because you see that room with the kids and that when they pan out, it was full of babies.
Yep. And it leaves you wondering too, because most of the movies that we see that I think there is very kind of close to our reality, they kind of imply it, but this one did not. This one is showing like that bureau belongs to the United States government. But usually, the way that it goes, it shows you like the UN's kind of being the global governmental entity for everybody. So at least I'm wondering, is this happening worldwide? Or this is just happening nationwide? What's actually what happens in other nations in this reality? If it's different.
Yeah.
Were they sterilizing people too?
Yeah, they have
to mention that.
Tankers in the movie. If you actually watch when Monday is walking around, you see big red letters that say sterilization centers with like big lines of people. Mm-hmm. But like, it made me wonder, like, I kind of get myself into the universe of the movie, and I'm like, is this happening nationwide? They happen in worldwide. It's not worldwide. It's different in other nations. It's just the worse, it's the better.
Yeah. It would have to be worldwide, considering it's all the natural resources and importing and exporting.
Yeah. I don't envy that. That's one of those worlds that I don't envy.
It's too scary.
And it's scary at the same time.
The moral message is don't screw over your siblings ever.
Yeah.
Oh man. So, yeah, hopefully the next movie you guys give me is not going to be as hard to watch.
Let's pick that.
This one is good. It just like, you just kept with it and you just really get into it.
Well, it wasn't as hard as Black Mirror. I have to admit that. That still Black tops Mirror. It.
Yeah, Black Mirror is in social news.
Yeah, yeah. So, Bree, I have to say thank you so much for, you know, mentioning this movie. It's one of the ones, and like I said at the beginning of this, I had it on my list to watch. But you know how that list sometimes
gets out of hand.
It gets big. And, you know, it's, so, it's messed up because, you know, you have a list not only on Netflix, you have a list on Hulu, you have a list everywhere. And sometimes you don't get to the list you want and movies get fall through the cracks. This movie was really good. And I meant to see that originally when it came out and I completely, it just got lost through the cracks.
So, I finished it and I thought of you guys. So I was like, you guys need to watch this.
And the first thing that I see is like, hold on a second, we haven't recorded one yet? What happened? And right. I mentioned it to Giancarlo, and Giancarlo saw it. I was like, hold on a second.
Oh, I'm not watching before.
No?
Before you mentioned it. Oh, I had it on the list because I was interested in it.
Yeah, I had it. But yeah, if you guys are like me, where you put it on the list because you watched the trailer and you're going to get to it eventually, the trailer doesn't do it any justice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives you an idea, but no, just watch it. And, you know, reach out to us on Discord and Twitter and let's talk about this because the movie was really good. And it has a very complex story in it, as you can see from our conversation today.
Complex stories in it. That's for sure.
Seven different ones.
Bree, thank you so much for coming in. And I hope that you like this so much that you can come back again.
Yes.
We'll definitely love to have you back in this show.
Anytime.
Makes you comfortable.
Huh? Yeah. Let me pick another one that you'll love. See, I Am Mother or... Tao.
It must be killing and be killed, okay?
Well, if you keep away from Black Mirror, I'll be happy.
And if the main thing is better.
Or the new, what's that movie? The new zombie movie out? Something of the Dead. Army of the Dead.
I saw that.
I saw that. It was something.
It was just tornado.
It was, yeah. Just, I had to finish it because... You had to, but.
Yeah. Bree, you want to tell everyone if you had where they want to, they can reach out to you, or if you have anything that you want to plug.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Rochelle KB right down here, or Let's Chat Live, or on our podcast website, letschatpodcast.net. Or if you need any kind of social media marketing or design done, startupconsults.net.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, thank you so much. You have no idea. We have so much fun every time we have you in, you know, and this is our first time on our show. We had a couple of episodes on Let's Chat Live with Bree and we have so much fun talking. So yeah, I make a formal invitation to come back anytime you like. Bring a movie with you. We'll watch it.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. And again, remember, you can reach out to us in, at Sci-Fi Remnant and reach out to us on Discord. Let's go ahead and talk about, you know, any of the episodes that if you ever had any comments on anything that we have said in a previous episode or this episode, reach out to us on Discord and let's have the conversation. We're all about the conversation. Next time, when we have another live, join in and you can join in our conversation as well.
Absolutely.
Again, thank you so much and we'll see you next time. Well, this is the end of our show for now. Please let us know if you like this episode.
And if you have any idea about which topics you would like us to discuss in our next episodes, please reach out.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Remnant. And if you like this podcast, share it.
And don't forget to rate us in your favorite podcast platform. This will help us grow. Thank you.
See you next time. This is Science Fiction Remnant, signing off. Next on Science Fiction Remnant.
This is Season 1, Episode 50, Movie Contact.
So they didn't specify a number, but he said, like, everyone could be gone by the time you come back.
Well, many documentaries, the faster you travel, the slower time gets. The time is still running the same speed in here.
So let's say, for example, let's just round it up to 50.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the guy is 30. He'll be 80 when she comes back.
Yep.